Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook/The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter @The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
This is Andrea Owen, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey there, David speaking, and welcome to the show. I'm sitting here in Sydney right now, having flown from Brisbane. We were actually in a little place outside of Brisbane, Brizzy, about an hour or so, called Coolum, where we just finished a 4.5-day leadership retreat. We had leaders flying in from all over Australia. Many of them have won this event, and what a great time. All of you Aussies out there who were there, thank you so much. We had an absolute blast. I was just saying it was one of my favorite events I think I've ever done, just because of the immense amount of fun we had and the learning. The learning was deep. There were so many transformations. And these guys, you know, I've been watching these guys, a lot of them for a lot of years, and watching them grow their wealth and in their leadership capacity and their teams. And it's so rewarding to be able to be a part of someone's journey. So much so that I've decided to come back to Australia 2 times a year now, because I'm so invested in this amazing country, these amazing people, but really to be a part of this amazing journey with so many really, really cool leaders. So thank you so much. And this is sort of the almost the tail end of our trip now. After almost a month, big event in Sydney, a massive event in Perth, and then our trip to Thailand, and now this leadership event. We must admit, I'm feeling a little pooped, but tonight I'm meeting some friends outside the Sydney Opera House for some beers and some chat. And every year we always get together, so I'm looking forward to that. But I wanted to dedicate this show to somebody that really helped me over this whole trip. And I know that she listens to the show every day. So Sandy Kenton, I know you're probably walking around getting ready right now. And I just want to sort of dedicate this show to you with deep thanks. We had a beautiful time. You were by my side the whole trip. You co-trained on all the events, and I just really deeply respect and care about you. And I also want to thank the rest of the team that helped out. Elena and Jill and Rebecca and James, and of course Sharon from afar, and the rest of the team. I mean, there's so many to mention, but thank you so much for making this a wonderful, wonderful trip again. I got a couple more days, and looking forward to tomorrow night. It's our final night in town. We'll be going to go out with Sharon Walsh and hit the town and paint it red and blue and green and whatever we're going to paint it, but we're going to have a great time. So we'll sleep well on the plane, I'm sure. And then my boys, I was just speaking to the kids, they're going to meet us at the airport. So what's better than that, right? So I thought I'd maybe share a couple of things. First of all, I thought our music today, I thought I'd pick some of the top albums, best-selling albums of all time. So we'll interject with those, see if you can guess what ones they would be in your mind right now. You old folks probably know some of them. But I thought I'd sort of give you a little overview of the leadership training. This one section, which I did over, you know, almost a day, maybe it was the 5 levels of leadership. And understanding that if we want to move to a level 5 leader, if we want to call it that, Maxwell in his books, he talked about a pinnacle leader. If we want to move to becoming a pinnacle leader, then there's a process that we all go through. So, and all of us in the end will be called to leadership. If we want to live a life of contribution at some level, you know, even if you're a life of service, Mother Teresa, she still has a team of 1 million people that now are in her church. And so leadership is always required. So, you know, hopefully this is something you can all understand. And if you're in a job right now, which, you know, isn't my favorite thing, but if you're passionate about your job, awesome. If you're not, start thinking about ways to change that, because life is short. The 5 levels of leadership, and starting with the lowest level, is the position level. And I'm just going to sort of scoot through these and just sort of give you a little overview. You know, people follow you because they have to. I mean, you have a title, you're a manager, you're this, you're that, whatever. And you know, you see it in young organizations. If you're in network marketing, you know, you may have signed up and got a couple of people in and got to one level or even a second level without really even thinking about the business or anyone in your team. And it may be more of an accidental thing, but you still have a title. When you go to an event, you have a badge around your neck, which is saying you're a manager or you're this, you're a, you know, an executive or whatever ranks you use in your network marketing companies. But this is the position level. And people follow you because they feel they have to. It's basically just a job title or rank. There's many upsides and downsides to this. But you know, the thing about, I mean, I suppose an upside for this level, I mean, this isn't the most enlightened level, right? You just got a badge on, and it actually brings out a lot more negativity than it does positivity. But the good news is that it probably means that you're recognized in some form of authority by some people. And it's an invitation for you to start thinking that you could possibly grow. And it's really allows you the possibility to shape and define your leadership. So even if you just have a title right now, inside you kind of know that the only reason why people are there is because they have to be there, and the only reason they're listening is because they have to, otherwise you'll fire them. You know, that probably isn't the most inspiring thing for you right now. But the trap of this is, of course, that it's so misleading, because, you know, although you have this badge or this title, you're really not into leadership yet. You know, you're not really a leader. And typically people who rely on a badge, who really love their authority, they often devalue people. And the turnover at this level, positional leaders, is often very, 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 very often. It happens a lot. And a lot of positional leaders, they place their rights over the responsibilities and often feel incredibly lonely because they just get branded and stranded, right? Normally, if they ask for help or they want to set a goal, they rarely get it. They have trouble with certain types of people, like volunteers or young people. Volunteers, because they give their time freely. Volunteers want to be inspired by someone they want to follow. So, I mean, positional leadership, they're not interested in that. Why would I volunteer my time for you? You're an asshole, right? That's not going to happen. They often get problems with young people because young people, young people are a lot about authenticity, right? They don't want some nonsense where there's a badge in front and they seem to have to follow it. All the highly educated people, they have trouble with that because they just don't have influence with them. So they may have a title, but they really are never a leader. And so we have to think about leadership. It's not a right, it's a privilege, and it continually has to be earned. That's the thing, right? And people go along with the leaders they get along with. So that's the position leadership. And you know, if you're in that position right now, I want you to feel buoyant because you're listening to this show right now, and because there is a pathway. There's a way for you to come to level 2 leadership. And I'll go into that. And again, remember, I trained this over a whole day and then 4 other days where I was putting it into practice. So, you know, I can only skim the surface with you here and give you the idea of it. But let's go into one of the top best-selling albums of all time. This was banned. This was banned in my country when it first came out. Crazy. It was like, because it was like too risque. And I watched this on a pirated video in some dark room somewhere. Level, and there's Michael. I don't know if you've ever watched his movie after he passed away, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth having a good listen to it. It's a very, very, very good movie, and I think you'll come away with a whole new understanding of how this guy was wired and really why he was a master in his arena. And he really led his team when he was producing, why his songs were so good. But anyway, so the next first level is positional, and people follow you because they have to. Second level, people follow you because they want to. But then we have to start to change the way we think about leadership. So if you're in that positional level and you're really not succeeding with people, you got to understand this. Titles aren't enough. That title means squat. And that's why I don't use business cards. I don't have a title. I don't care about a title. I mean, they have a place in corporate America, of course, but they're not enough. They're just a title. And people, not positions, are a leader's most valuable asset. People, not positions, are a leader's most valuable asset. And a leader doesn't need to have all the answers at this level. They start to realize that they can rely on other people for the answers. They live by that philosophy that one of us is not as smart as all of us. And a good leader, a great leader, always includes others and leads with others. And most importantly at this level, the permission level, when you like people and treat them as individuals, individuals who have value, you begin to develop the most important thing about leadership, which is influence. All right, that happens when you treat people as individuals who have value. So many upsides about this one. Work becomes just much more enjoyable. The energy's going through the roof. Communication is great. It sort of focuses the value of each person, so people are feeling great around you, and it nurtures trust. And that's the thing, right? But the negatives of this is there's often a pressure to sort of get on with everyone. People can think you're soft because you're really are in a relationship with a lot of people. It can be frustrating for the high achievers around you. Some people will take advantage of it. Sometimes it's hard if you're not naturally likable, and not everyone is naturally likable, to build these relationships. But it does force you to deal with the whole person, and it shifts the focus from me to we. So the permission leaders, they're invested in getting to know their people and figuring out how to get along with them. Because you got to remember, relationships, in times of difficulty, relationships are a shelter. But in times of difficulty, in times of opportunity, they're a launching pad. So relationships are either a launching pad or a shelter. And it's important for us to sort of, if you have any kind of a team, whether it's small or big, think of the five top key players in your team and see if you can answer these four questions, right? What three non-business things do you know about this person? What do they value? What are their top three concerns? And what do they want or hope for in their life, right? And if you can't answer these questions with confidence, then you need to set some time aside to get to know them better. Because most of us are in these superficial relationships that have no substance at all, right? And that's not where you want to be at the permission level. Remember, there's another level above it, all right? But this is moving from position to permission, where people want to work with you. They want to follow you. So leaders find out who their people are, and followers find out who their leaders are. But, when the shit is to fan, people will cling to those they know and the people they can trust. And that's why trust is such a big thing, because it's the foundational piece of permission. And, you got to treat others as you would like to be treated. That's really the golden rule of the permission level. And, it's important to realize you can care for people without leading them, but it's impossible to lead them effectively from level one without caring for them. So caring for people becomes an important thing. And, becoming aware of the uniqueness of people and learn to appreciate their differences is what will allow you to sort of start to not only dominate in the permission level, but actually to move on to the next level, right? Because there is always another level, right? But then let's listen to one of the second most popular albums of all time. I used to listen to these guys a lot when I was younger. Let's see if you know who this is. Come on, play up. It's buffering. Would you believe me? I'm having a little buffer. You know what it is? There you go. Oh, it's going to keep doing it. You know what? I'll give it a second now. I'll let it buffer while I'll talk to you about these levels. But you have to remember, I'm sitting in a hotel room with this kind of makeshift recording studio that I'm attempting to play for you. And so I'm going to get this kind of thing happening. So it may or may not happen. I'm going through Wi-Fi. It looks like that I may or may not be able to play this song, but it's trying. It is certainly on the way. And if it doesn't play, don't worry. We've got more important things to talk about than this song. But let me just see if it'll play. Yeah, look at that. It's not going to do it. Well, I tried. What can I say? I tried. Thank you. Apache Dude is such a great band. And again, one of the second best-selling albums of all time, Dark Side of the Moon. Don't forget, you go to the show notes if you want to find out some of the music we play. I won't play too many, but we're moving from permission now to the production level. So number one, right, remember people follow you because they have to. Number two, they follow you because they want to. This level, people follow you because of what you've done for the organization. But you got to remember, when you move a level, you can't go from the permission level to the production level and forget the permission part. You've got to keep the relationships going. A lot of people, they'll move to the production level and their leadership will fall into the toilet because they stop doing the things that are most important. And so you can never leave others behind, right? So good leaders don't just create a pleasant environment, they get stuff done. And this is why the production level is so important. Because the production level is based all about results. And there's so many upside because, you know, you're given credibility because of the results. And it sets a standard for others, right? It brings clarity and reality to the vision that's there. And it also creates momentum. And it's the main foundation for team building. So you're not going to be a great leader without building a great team. So production leaders gain influence and credibility. And leading becomes fun. You know, when you're in production, because you can't fake this level. There's no BS in this level. You can't fake it. It ain't going to happen, right? And there's two types of people in business. Those who produce results and those who are going to give you reasons why they didn't. So the trap here is production. You may be a great producer, and it may make you think you're a leader when you're actually not a leader because you have no relationship. So just because you're a great producer does not make you a leader. That's the trap, right? And there's a heavy weight of responsibility that can come around that you've got to keep producing. So that's another trap there. And it requires making strong decisions and difficult decisions. But it also requires continual attention to level two relationships, right? But when the right kind of work gets done, results start to happen, morale improves, teams grow, goals get achieved, momentum kicks in. And one thing we've got to know about momentum makes everything easier, all right? But there's three types of momentum. There's momentum makers who make it happen. There's momentum takers who go along for the ride and don't do squat. And then momentum breakers who cause problems and hurt morale. And what's most important for this is to really make sure these momentum breakers either, you know, are repositioned in the organization, or, you know, you get them extra trained, see if you can get them engaged into the thing, or get rid of them. Because they're always going to be sort of digging underneath. And they're always around. You always got your whiners and your complainers and your victims, right? But the momentum breakers, you don't need those in your team. But high producers attract other high producers. And here's a little exercise for you to try, right? Make a list of all the qualities that you desire in your ultimate team member. So think of the greatest team member that you'd want, all right? And just try and list five qualities. I know you've got a pen there right now. So just list five qualities. If you don't have a pen, right, what I want you to do is I want you to list five qualities in your head. Just do that for a second. I'll just give you a second so that you know you know what they are, okay? So just go through that in your head, okay? 10 seconds, think about it. Best qualities, what do you want? What do you want, okay? Now, I want you to do this. I want you to compare your own personal qualities to that list. Time to look in the mirror. I should play Michael Jackson again. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, all right? And so what you wanna do is now is look at those qualities that you want and just check, do you have them all? And if you don't, why do you choose to develop more of that one or two that you don't have? Just work on them. So you can continually elevate your leadership, all right? And then create an action statement describing what you must do to possess the trait that you'd like to develop. Just create a little action statement and go about creating it. Because you gotta remember, people do what they see being done. And if you're not doing it, if you're not a producer, they ain't gonna do it. So the actions of level three leaders is what is required of me, what I must do, right? What gives me the greatest return, what I should do. What is most rewarding, what I love to do, all right? So those are the three levels, what is required of me, what I must do. And in the beginning when we're starting out, when you're starting out any new endeavor, there's a lot of times where you're gonna be doing what you must do. You just gotta get shit done, you just gotta do it. Roll up your sleeves and get it done. You may not like it, But you know, if you're building a team around you, you're not going to be doing it for long anyway, right? And then what gives me the greatest return, what I should do, the things that you should do every day to get results. So in network marketing, we call it income producing activities, right? But whatever it is, get results, right? But then what is most rewarding, what I love to do? When you build a championship team, you will end up doing what you love to do, but you got to go through those early things of doing what has to be done. So production leaders become great change agents. They handle tough issues, they make tough decisions. But what's most important for you guys who are heavy producers, if you've got to put connection time into your schedule so you stay relationally connected to people. So actually add it into your thing, you know, a barbecue, whether, you know, a gathering, having a dinner party at home, you know, just taking someone out for lunch. Actually put it in there so you don't lose sight of the permission level, of that relationship level, right? And so, again, one of the best-selling albums of all time. You'll know these guys. These are awesome. Hopefully, we won't have a buffering issue. If we do, we'll deal with it. Sing after 3 weeks of training. My voice is just shot. I shouldn't sing at all, probably. But I am on the microphone, so I'll do it. All right, so position level, right? We know what that one is. But moving up, again, to the next level, from production to people development, we got to know that production isn't enough, that people are an organization's most appreciable asset. Growing leaders is the most effective way to realize a vision, and people development is the greatest fulfillment for a leader. So going to the next level is where all the fulfillment comes. So level one, people follow us because we have to. Level two, because they want to. Level three, because what we've done for the organization. But level four, people follow you because what you've done for them. This is where the juice comes. This is what I love to do, right? Leaders become great not because of their power, but because of their ability to empower others. All right, some of the upsides though, people development sets you apart from most leaders, all right? It assures that growth can continue and be sustained, all right? It empowers others to fulfill the leadership responsibilities, all right? And people development empowers the leader to lead larger. This is where it's all at. And it provides the most fun and fulfillment, right? So elite organizations must transition from producers to people developers because people are the organization's most appreciable asset. I'm going to say it over and over and over again. So people development leaders duplicate themselves. This is where the juice is. So in network marketing, duplication or die, right? In corporate America, you want to duplicate yourself. But again, a lot of people are afraid of it. There's a lot of reasons why people won't develop. And I certainly went through that myself. Elite organization leaders must transition from producers to people developers because people are the most appreciable asset, like I've said so many times. You've got to keep hearing that one over and over again, all right? Some of the traps which are important, you know, self-centeredness can cause leaders to neglect it. You know, you start to sort of become the center of your own universe and you neglect people development. Insecurity. A lot of leaders can feel threatened by people development. They don't want to do, and I went through that. And if you, any of you know a guy called Richard Stapp, he used to live in Kelowna. He was in a network marketing company one time I was in, and I was so afraid of him, and I was not developed as a leader at all. And so I held him back, and I really regret it. I'd love to buy you dinner, Richard. If you ever hear this show, you were so much better than I was at that time, and I just didn't have the courage to allow you to go past me and show me, because I was in the position leader. I'd been given a position, and people were there because they had to be there, and I hadn't developed these other skills. So again, I want to say sorry for that. And if any of you know this guy, let him know to get a hold of me here in Kelowna or through my website. I would love to make that right, because I certainly was digging a hole under your feet when I shouldn't have been. So short-sightedness can keep leaders from seeing the need to develop their people, and a lack of commitment can keep leaders from doing the hard work, because it takes work. So production leaders win games, the producers win the games, but people development leaders, they win championships. That's where the great coaches are in the world, because I mean, these guys are powerful, right? So when you help enough other people get what they want, they will ultimately help you get what you want. That's the wonderful Zig Ziglar quote, right? But you know, first focus on them, what they want, and then they will help you. I mean, people stay up late, they'll take a bullet for you, right? But the horror stories is this: you invest a lot of time in someone, nothing happens, or they take without giving anything in return, so you get this all this time you put in, and you don't get nothing back, or they make the effort, and I'm gonna sneeze in a second. Excuse me, that was a long time coming. I was fighting that one for a few minutes there. But so you build them up, and they make the effort, and they're not very good at what they do. They fail or they come up short. So these are the horror stories. This is maybe, you know, why you wouldn't want to develop someone. Or you create a superstar who leads to another company or leads to another organization, right? But it's still absolutely important that we build the right people and that we focus on developing, right? And so how we do that, you know, we've got to recruit the right people. We've got to know who we were attracting in the beginning. And that's really, really important. We've got to have chemistry. You need to like them to be effective. You've got to look at their character. Good character makes trust possible. Capacity, can they handle what you're trying to put them into? A lot of people don't have the capacity. And contribution to people who love to contribute. Because most leaders spend too much of their time with the wrong people, not with the people who will end up becoming great leaders, right? So what I want to do now is just to, when we talk about this, we talk about teamwork and loyalty improves and performance increases. Because there are many more leaders on the team, that helps improve everyone's performance and creates more freedom for you. So, you know, that teamwork, you know, and that loyalty improves and performance increases, right? And because there's all these leaders now that you've developed, all right, you can have more freedom ultimately. And that's what a good friend of mine, Jim Cooper, does. I mean, he says, you know, he surrounds himself with thoroughbreds. And I watch him now. He has so much freedom to cast his vision and to change millions of lives and lead a great, great life and do everything he's ever wanted to do in his life. But because of this ability, because he is a pinnacle leader, he's a level 5 leader. And you know, he had to grow this himself. He had to learn this himself, right? So people develop leaders, change the lives of the people they lead, and people follow them because of the change in their lives. And these relationships often end up becoming lifelong. So moving from people development to pinnacle, this is the last level now, from people development to pinnacle, the highest goal of leadership is to intentionally develop leadership, not gain followers or end up doing all the work like production people. You must create a leadership culture, and developing leaders is a lifetime commitment, not a job, all right? It's just not a job. So we gotta teach leadership within that culture, train leaders on a regular, frequent, consistent basis. That's got to be part of it. We got to practice leadership, helping emerging leaders to plan, execute, fail, and succeed, because they're going to fail as well, and succeed, right? And we've got to coach leadership. We've got to review new leaders' performance and help correct what's not working, right? So, and then we've got a reward leadership. A lot of people don't do this, but reward leadership with incentives, resources, recognition, you know, and there's lots of great ways to for us to reward leadership. There really, really is, right? So, you know, one of the things that I find when I sort of go through this is in my own journey is where I've made these mistakes, like I talked about with Richard. But, you know, because it's very, very easy if you're just in the relationship part is to get stuck. You know, you're trying to people please, you know, but you really, really don't move into the production part. So you're there, you have all the relationships, but you don't have the production. And if you don't have the people development, then you're always working your ass off, and you don't have the development of leaders to help you truly create freedom in your life. So you get stuck there. You're working your ass off for a whole of your life, and then you end up dying of a heart attack because you're 62 and you're too fat, and all you've done is work, right? So anyway, let's look at one of the next top-selling albums of all time. You'll love this one. This is just a great, great band. And differences, right? You got, you know, Michael Jackson, and you got like AC/DC in the top three. It's so cool. I like that. I love the way that the differences, and we'll love number four. You're gonna love it. So together, different. All right. Hey, level one, people follow you because they have to. Level two, people follow you because they want to. Level three, because of what you've done for the organization. Level four, because of what you've done for them. Level five, people follow you because of who you are and what you represent. So the pinnacle level, level five leadership, requires effort, skill, intentionality, a high level of passion, commitment, and natural and learned talent. So naturally gifted leaders who develop their people to become level four and five leaders, right? So the idea of pinnacle is to be growing leaders to be the pinnacle level. That is the ultimate level of leadership. And a lot of people get stuck at two, three, and four, right? And they'll never get to five. Five is one of those rare spots, right? Developing leaders to the point where they are able and willing to develop other leaders is the most difficult leadership task of all. So it's not getting them just there. Now they have to reproduce themselves. So pinnacle leadership creates a level five organization. Pinnacle leadership creates a legacy within the organization. And pinnacle leadership provides an extended platform for leading. So what it doesn't matter what environment you're in. If you're a level five leader developing leaders, what ends up happening is other people will call you out of different industries and they'll come and ask you to speak on their stages. They're gonna want you to be around because it's something that's, you know, you have. You're a legacy leader. So pinnacle leaders, they create opportunities that other leaders just don't or can't. Now the downside of that, often the trap, is they start to think it's all about them. They can think they've arrived. They can start to believe their own press and start to become jerky, right? Or they begin to lose focus, right? So there are some downsides to pinnacle as well. So as a result, they very often transcend their position, their organization, and often their industry. They create legacy in what they do. And so, you know, when we look at the sort of a little bit of a review, what are we at? Oh, we're just over time. So if I do a quick review right now, right? The great leaders establish themselves in their position on level one. They gain people's permission on level two, be productive on level three. They possess the desire to take the entire team to higher levels of developing people on level four, and then develop level five leaders who develop level five leaders and teams on level five. So that's kind of it. I mean, that's in my 30 minutes here. That gives you a little bit of an overview of what I trained for a day and a half. And I hope it really helps you sort of understand that, you know, this thing is a journey. I mean, and it's a wonderful, the wonderful journey that you can take. It is so, so amazing, right? And it's not one of these things that, you know, has to be rushed sometimes. I mean, it's great to be at those different levels. And you know, I said, accept the position leadership where you're given a badge. Now you know the best way to get out of it is to get into relationships with people, right? That's the real juice, right? So, you know, and then moving up to that next level, you know, of production. A lot of people, they'll have great relationships, but they're afraid to go do the work. We now know that, you know, to do the work, is really, really important. But if we're only stuck in that, if we're stuck in that work the whole time, right, we're going to burn out. We're going to burn out our teams, right? Because then we have to get into the people development. We really want to develop people. Now, not just develop people, but from those people, we want to be able to develop leaders, level five leaders. That's the most important, right? So, anyway, so the next album, just so you know, is an album which I know it's crazy. You think this is number five in so many ways, but these guys were around when I was around. You know, this is what I grew up with. But you know, if you listen to these guys and you think of how they dressed, I used to dress just like these people. I can't believe it. Ah, but here we go. Last one. Last album. We'll close this thing up. Saturday Night Fever, but I wasn't able to pull that one up. So, you know, in my limited technology here in my little hotel room with my little mobile speaker. Anyway, don't forget, we got the Saturday Ask Dave and Jen show coming up, and we'll do it before we leave Australia, before we get on the plane. So get your questions up on Facebook, and we would love to answer those for you. And I'm looking forward to getting home, giving my kids a big snuggle and a big wrestling match, and showing how much I love them. And I really, really appreciate you all. So we'll definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.